Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's over there. He's Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. I had a very fun day today.
You did?
Yes. I got our Kishi, our good old yes. Kishi in the mail today.
Yes, the Kishi.
And gaming will never be the same again.
Never.
I feel like
changing the game.
My bathroom breaks will now be hours longer than usual. Sleep sure. is now a distant memory. As of today, no more sleep. Mm-hmm. Ever again.
For those of you that don't know, that's the controller attachment that basically turns your phone into a Switch for Xbox games, Game Pass. So, or in xCloud. Mm-hmm. So, I also got mine, but I did not open mine because I wanted to do an official unboxing and like live review of it, sort of kind of thing, for our YouTube channel, youtube.com/dualscreensTV. So, I'm going to hopefully do that tonight and then edit it and get it up as soon as I can. That's what she said. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm excited to try that out. I did load up the app I was playing, or at least looking at the title screen because you need a controller. I was looking at the title screen for Outer Worlds, so I know it works. But yeah, very excited. For those of you that are new here to the Dual Screens Gamescast, this is the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring two people you've never heard of. Probably
you're just writing slogans left and right. Is that what you're doing?
That's
in your
correct.
Spare time? So
that's
streamer, podcaster, slogan maker.
Correct. Correct. That's yes. We are the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring two people you've never heard of. Probably the Dual Screens Gamescast posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home Podbean. And of course the video on demand version goes up one day later on youtube.com/dualscreensTV. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. And if you are listening to this on an Apple device thingy, please consider leaving us a review. It helps the show out tremendously. You know what? And I'm going to check right now. I'm going to check live and in color if we got ourselves a new review. I'm scrolling down. I think we're still fine. Nope, we're still fine. We're still fine.
That's just code okay. for those in the chat. Do a yeah. review right now.
Yeah, don't be jerks.
Don't be big dumbs and get on that.
We also do another show on this very same feed. You don't have to go anywhere else. That goes on Thursdays. That's the Dual Screens Podcast. That's our flagship show. That's interview show. It's the internet's number one mm-hmm. indie game interview podcast that probably.
Yeah.
And yeah. 100% true. Mm-hmm. And it goes up every Thursday, same deal, except that goes at the video version of that goes on YouTube the same day as the audio feed, so you could do that as well. If you want to support us on Patreon, you could go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our two Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. And I do want to say to both of our producers, you have care packages that are nearly complete. Everything we've wanted to get, we've had to wait months to get for no reason whatsoever. It was just delayed and 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 delayed. But finally, we are waiting on just one component for each of you. And then your care packages will be sent out. And we are very excited for this. But everybody else should have gotten their t-shirts if you support us at the $25 mark. But enough about that crap. Enough about that stuff. Folks, if you want to watch us record this show live on twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams, do it. Do it. Go there. Hit the follow button. We do it on Sunday nights, sometimes Monday if Sunday is crazy, but we do it every Sunday night. You could go there. You could chat with us. We like to open up the floor to get your comments, questions, concerns, and all that fun stuff. You could also, if you're in our Patreon, you also get into our Discord, which you could also ask questions there. All right, Andy, it is time to get into...
Yes.
Everybody's favorite future t-shirt created by Missed Enough.
The shirt.
Working on it painstakingly for the last 8 months.
The most hype shirt in existence. It better be fucking worth it.
8 months long design.
Like, this shirt better be so good. I'm gonna have
We may still be waiting on the concept.
It's going to be a second skin. That's how good the shirt's going to be.
Hell yeah. The adventures in gaming. Andy,
Steven, playing. So I kind of glossed over Hades last week because I was too mm-hmm. enthralled with the Castlevania hentai game.
True, and you also weren't that deep into Hades. I don't think. I think you only did a couple.
Right,
of
I did. Yeah, because I was horrible at it. Which, by True. The way, we did manage to score that Castlevania Hentai game developer on the other podcast, so that's happening.
Uh-oh.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be our first our first Halloween episode is that one.
But
let me digress. So Hades, oh my God, Steven, this is, I think I said it last week, without doubt, the greatest roguelike game ever made. Now, we're waiting still on Rogue Legacy 2 to be final and out there and be a thing, but until that time happens, this game, the way it handles the roguelike formula, and you want to die because you want to take all your hard-earned little points that you can invest in your character to get stronger.
Right.
And just how this whole thing comes together. So let's do a little bit of story time here. So the game is about you're playing as Hades' son, whose name is Zagreus, who's trying to get out of hell, essentially. And he goes through five levels to get out of hell. And he fights a couple of bosses. It's you can probably do a full run in, like, I would say, less than an hour, maybe half an hour if you're that good.
Okay.
If your build's solid enough. It's a quick game. It's just the bosses are pain in the ass. That last one, I finally beat the last boss yesterday. Whew. But then I heard that you have to beat the game 10 times to get the true ending. So that's happening at some point on the way to Nantucket. But anyway, so the way it weaves mythology with gameplay, each of the gods give you what they call boons, like special abilities. They augment your weapons, your core stats, your life, for example, or how much percent more gold you get per pickup, how much life replenishment you get. And even the gods themselves have their own personality. There'll be times when the game will offer you two god powers in the same room, and you have to pick one over the other. And the one that you don't pick, that god gets angry at you and sends minions to fight you in that same level.
Sure. Okay.
Now, you do end up getting both abilities. But it's like, okay, survive like a wave of enemies to get both powers.
You pick one to fight the other one, essentially.
And the way it's structured is when you go to different rooms, different chambers, you know which god power you're going to get. Like there's a lightning bolt, that's Zeus's ability, or like there's a little wine glass, that's Dionysus. By the way, the drunk powers, it's like poison when you make enemies drunk. It's the funniest shit ever. So you can customize your build sort of if you know which god you want to pick in each chamber, more or less. But it's a lot of fun. It's super addictive. And if you haven't bought it yet, I would buy it right now. It's $20 on the eShop.
Yeah, my whole thing with that game is like,
you need to get it.
Something is not speaking to me with it, and I don't know what it, like, I'm watching a lot of people play it. It just seems very, like, flippantly chaotic.
Right, but and that's like, the fun of it.
You're just kind of running around, just spamming your abilities and, you know, clearing rooms or whatever. Uh-huh, but people are having fun. People are having fun with it, and, you know, I don't poo-poo that, but I just still haven't been quite sold on it yet. I don't know. I'm still on the fence. There's another game that came out both on PC and Switch, as far as I know. I don't know if it came to anything else yet, but and that's Bacon Switch, Andy.
Yes, and, that's Steam and Switch, yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It does not play well on Switch.
Nope.
At all.
Nope.
That saddens me. That is disappointing.
That saddens me.
I am going to see if I get my hands on a PC version because I know that game runs on PC.
You're in luck. I have a code just for you, my friend.
Look at that. Perfect. Well, because
perfection.
Good Lord. I cannot recommend that game on Switch right now. It barely runs. It barely runs. The frame rate is terrible. The menus take forever to navigate through.
It needs more time in the oven. I said it.
Yes, you went there. You went there. You went there. It was clearly not ready at all. And we know that a game, which weird, and I knew that this was the case for the game, which I'm nervous about. Switch needs games like this. Mm-hmm. It needs games like this that you could hop in, hop online, or do local co-op, go in and have fun. It needs that. I'm afraid that what this is going to do to the game is basically tell make people say, well, fuck this, I'm not going to play it, and then it's dead on arrival.
Yeah.
It's going to be couch co-op only. Nobody's playing couch co-op right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic.
Dude,
I think it's going to be dead on arrival.
I tried couch co-op with the fiancé. He did not dig it at all. It was just so slow. And then you wonder, we can have Witcher 3 run on the Switch. This game should have no issues. It's just a really poorly optimized port on the Switch.
That's what, and I know that they didn't do the port themselves because we actually interviewed the creator.
Yeah.
So we know that it was an outsourced thing. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know what that game is, Bacon Switch is a game where you're getting these little dough balls, you're combining them into bigger dough balls, and then you're throwing them into an oven while you're fighting off like bugs and other things, and you're trying to give the oven the orders that it wants. It's really good. The game is really, really good. Mm-hmm. If you have a PC and you don't need a beast to run this kind of game, this game is a blast. It's 4-player co-op. There's a ton of modes that coming into it over time. At least they planned on it. If you want a game like that's just a blast to play with friends, I cannot recommend it enough. Like it's up there with like an Overcooked for me. Like it's just a little bit simpler than Overcooked. It's less chaotic. Well, I don't want to say it's less chaotic because there's a lot of chaos going on in Bacon Switch.
Well, it's good. It's enemies and PvP also in there. There's boss fights. It's a different take on
fights too. Yeah,
it's a different take on the whole order management sim. It's
right. It's less about ingredients and orders and stuff like that, and it's more about organizing who's gonna do what where.
Yeah,
like when we played it when it was still in beta, like Zach or Buzz Killington, who's not here yet, I'm very upset about that, he's not in the chat. Buzz Killington was like the one that would go around and fight all the bugs for us so we didn't have to worry about it, and like it was cool. It's a really fun game, so I recommend it. Also Bite the Bullet, I jumped back into Bite the Bullet because honestly, I just lost time. I lost track of time. So I just booted it up while I was just kind of hanging out. That game is so well made that it sucks that not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
Like, they put so much shit into this game. Like,
they
crammed the shit out of this game. And, again, for those of you who don't know, it's a run and gun. It's kind of like Contra or Metal Slug or something like that, but it's got heavy RPG elements.
I've seen no mainstream review outlets cover it.
It's
heartbreaking.
It's a really cool dope game. It's funny. It's well written. My only complaint about the game is that they need to do better with their menus and UI. Like when you level up, just like managing your tree, it's like it's a massive tree. Think like a sphere grid in Final Fantasy X. Like that's the skill tree, right? But it scrolls so slow, and like you can't zoom out and see everything so you could chart your path. It's like that is my biggest complaint with this game. But dude, the game is fantastic. The mm-hmm. level design is brilliant, even though it's like quasi randomized. It's just really well done.
It's because you always ask yourself how do we make games like Contra different, innovative, and more unique.
Right.
And this is it. It's sitting here. It's being served up to you. No pun intended. Right. Like fucking play it. It's a good fucking game.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it doesn't have a strong marketing right now.
Yeah.
Like
I've seen
they did a good there is a lot of streamers playing it. Like there's a lot of stuff like that. Like none of like these huge massive ones, but like the game is being put out there in front of eyeballs, but for whatever reason, like they don't have a character for the game. Like they don't have that, and the game is full of character.
You know what's gonna happen, Steve?
Yeah.
In like 2 or 3 years time when your Twitch channel is humongous.
Ugando, yeah.
And you're gonna play it one day, like Among Us, like 2-3 years old, and now it's like a thing. Yeah, like it's like this was brand new game, but it's been up for 3 years, asshole.
Yeah, jerks. Also been playing Among Us. I played all day yesterday and was not the killer once.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. That's also heartbreaking.
Yes, and I also got Fredo'd.
You got Fredo'd? Did someone leave a horse in your bed? What happened?
No. So I was playing with a bunch of friends, and I had become friends in this one round with one of our friends, Avenged. And I watched Avenged do tasks, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick there. Then our friend, Purger, came in and, you know, he came in the room and was like, no, well, you can't kill me in front of Avenged. Avenged is here. And then Avenged finished the task. And then I was like, well, fuck this. And then somebody found another body somewhere else. So we're like, okay. So I followed Avenged for the next round. I went into electrical. We did our things. And then we came out and another body was found. So again, not Avenged, right? It's not Avenged. That's fine. I was with Avenged all the time. Avenged did not kill me, whatever. The third time, we're following each other and we're going into this one area, this hallway, and there's a room to the right. And somebody comes out of the room to the right. Avenged is with me. Goes past me. I'm like, okay, went past me. I go in the panel. I'm doing my task, and I get shot by the guy that left the room. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And then it shows, you know, this when you're a ghost. And I'm like, did Avenge see that? And then Avenge goes in a fucking vent. And I'm like, holy shit, she's the other killer. She just Michael Corleone this whole situation. Literally led me to the other killer. Let me go out in a rowboat with the killer. And I'm sitting there, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And boom, I get shot in the back of the head. Horrible. Horrible.
That is
horrible.
Some Scorsese level shit right there.
It was so wonderfully played.
That was the Netflix series you just described.
If you go to my channel, twitch.tv/badchild, and you look at the clips, it's in one of the clips. And I was heartbroken.
You need to edit that with like.
I'm going to. I'm gonna actually put over. I'm gonna put over the Godfather scene in audio. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to have it play out the whole scene of Fredo floating in the water. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And I'm going to have it like transpose a little bit so you could kind of see that scene. And then like the shooting in the head, I'm going to match it up perfectly with the shooting of me in the head. Anyway, I also play Kingdoms of Amalur a lot more. I'm about 6 or 7 hours into that game.
Oh, how's that going for you so far?
I really like that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot.
Doesn't it make you sad that it wasn't a bigger thing when it first came out? The more you play it.
It does. But I see that like this game definitely influenced The Witcher 3. Like,
oh yeah.
A lot. I dig it a lot. I'm having a fun. I'm basically just doing side quests.
And less clunky gameplay too.
That's just what I do. It reminds me of like The Witcher 3 meets Dragon Age Inquisition. Like that's what it feels like to me. But yeah, Kings of Amalur: Re-Reckoning. The game has some weird glitches that still exist for some reason. I feel like they would have got ironed a lot of that stuff out. Like I didn't play the original, but a lot of people were telling me, like, how is this glitch still in this game? Like, this was a glitch that was there in 2008. Like, why is it still there 12 years later? But
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's going to be relevant at the end of the show.
Foreshadowing.
All right.
Foreshadowing. All right, let's go on to the indie news update.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have a review.
Yes.
On dualscreens.com, if you go to dualscreens.com, we have a review of a game called, where is it? Going Under. This was reviewed by our own Thornstone.
I love that song.
I'm going to put that in the chat right now. Yes, it's because the chat is saying your mouse is on Andy's face. Yes, it is because Andy's face is here, but also my dock is here because it has to be.
And you moved it.
So, yeah. So it doesn't matter, really, honestly. I don't care if it's on his face. So, yeah, if you go to dualscreens.com, Thorn did Going Under review.
Wait, hold on. I've had worse things on my face. Go on. Continue.
You've had much worse things. Just going to give you the conclusion here. He gives it a buy it, which is one of our highest recommendations. It's basically, yes, it's worth your money. There aren't many games out there like Going Under. It gives a great twist on the dungeon crawler genre, offering a dynamic, environmental-based action combat experience that feels chaotic until you learn to control it. The characters are quirky and fun, propped up by a delightfully colorful aesthetic and soundtrack you can't help but groove to. There are tons of weapons, skills, and enemies that you will find yourself saying one more time, far more than you had planned, as each run can be wildly different from the last.
You know,
Going Under is a must-play for anyone looking to crush monsters and have a great time.
Steven, we've mentioned Thorne's reviews several times on this podcast.
We have.
And we've mentioned the third chair. I think it's time to bring in Thorne one time.
It's all about that West Coast, man. He's on the West Coast. It's a tough time zone. You know what I mean?
He'll make work. Oh, look, Buzz is in the chat. Now get him out of here.
Somebody get Buzz out of here. All right. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Let's get into the dual screens report. Of course, this is where Andy and I cherry pick our favorite news stories of the week. And we're going to go over them. And Andy, we're going to start with what you chose for this documento.
Oh boy, Steven.
This is some fuckery. friend.
Steven, my bullshit sense is tingling.
Uh-oh.
So we live in an age where people are wondering about current gen or cross-gen games, upgrades, what it will cost,
right.
Which ones are free, which won't be free.
Indeed.
And we have some bullshit of the highest order, courtesy of Insomniac and Sony, regarding the Miles Morales / Spider-Man Remastered Edition.
Yep.
So here's how it's going to work. If you own the base PS4 game of Spider-Man,
yep.
Your upgrade is not for free, and you're fucked. You're shot out of luck, and have a nice life, and thank you, play again, and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Now, to be clear,
you
can still play your PS4 version.
Sure, you totally can.
But it will not be the upgraded remastered version. It'll have like faster load times, probably.
Sure.
Because it's going to be on a solid state drive.
Maybe some new textures and upgraded assets.
It will not have that.
Well, it is called remastered.
No. I'm saying if you play your PS4 game,
it will not be the remastered version. Right.
It'll only be possibly upscaled due to whatever upscaling the PS5 is going to do.
Yeah.
But and possibly faster load times. But it is not going to have the new textures, the DLC, the whatever. Which
horseshit.
If
horseshit
third parties are doing this on your console, there is no reason why for free. There is no reason why Sony should be doing what they are doing
there is a reason, Steven. I'll tell you right now.
I don't want to hear it.
Do you know how many views that Spider-Man trailer alone got in that last PS5 conference before the...
Can I take a guess?
The hour before the pre-orders went live?
Can I take a guess?
Give me a guess.
12 million.
Oh, yeah, way off. 5 million.
That's a lot.
Right, because Final Fantasy got 100-something thousand views. The other shit got low 100,000s-ish. 5 million people. Watch that trailer.
Yeah,
that is, they want that sweet, sweet money, and people will buy the Ultimate Edition of Miles to get the remaster of the PS4 version of Spider-Man.
Do you think they're going to walk this back?
No, they won't. Not going to happen.
You don't think they'll say, "We hear you loud and clear"?
No. Spider-Man is not even part of the PS Plus collection because of this, the almighty dollar.
Cushing.
Yeah, it's all right. It's horseshit. This, again, this is what anti-consumerism looks like to people.
Hold on. I want to make something clear.
Good.
This is only bullshit because other companies for this next coming gen are doing the opposite. But the precedent that Sony has set prior to this is that same way. You couldn't put your PS3 disc of The Last of Us and get Last of Us Remastered,
Steven,
on your PS4.
Hold on a minute, though. I buy the PS4 version of Miles, I get a free PS5 upgrade. That's free.
Yes. And I think the reason why is because they want to make good on the fact that it's on PS4 to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear what Insomniac said about this?
No.
Do you want to try to understand what the fuck these words mean?
Yes, please. Hit me with the massive word vomit.
So you can get the PS4 edition of the game, upgrade to a PS5 for free if you get disc version. You must have a disc drive PS5, though. Then from inside the game on PS5, you can upgrade to the Ultimate Edition, a.k.a. download MSMR, for $20. That's what they said on Twitter.
Okay.
And I can tell by the awkward
silence.
Which version
are we talking about? Which version are we talking about? Okay. Miles Morales only, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Either way, it sounds like you're buying the game twice if you want to have Spider-Man PS5 remastered version.
So you buy the game for $40, right? It's $50.
I think the price is $70 for the Ultimate Edition.
That's the Ultimate Edition. That's
right.
Both. That's right. Spider-Man Remastered and Miles Morales.
Correct.
If you buy the PS4 version of Miles Morales, Ultimate Edition. Wait, what are you paying $20 more for?
They didn't say. It wasn't clear. It says Then from inside the game on PS5, you can upgrade to the Ultimate Edition. There's no context. It just says that.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You buy the PS4 version of Miles Morales. You put it inside your system.
Yeah, you put
pay $20. You get
the Ultimate Edition.
Spider-Man Ultimate Edition.
Right.
So you get both games then.
Right.
For $20.
So if you buy the PS4 version of Miles Morales and you put that in your PS5 disc version only and you pay $20, you get the Ultimate Edition, which includes you're basically paying $20 for the PS5 version of Spider-Man. Yeah.
Right.
But if you just put your PS4 version of Miles Morales in your PS5, you get the free upgrade to the PS5
version. For Miles Morales.
Yes. Now, and only Miles Morales, yes.
Yeah, him.
You're paying $20 to unlock PS5 Spider-Man Remastered. That's what you're doing. Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
The thing they're saying you can't do is take your Spider-Man game, put that in, and pay $20 for the upgrade.
That will say, hey, cool, you're paying Spider-Man PS4. Awesome. Have a nice day.
So you have to have the copy of Miles Morales in order to upgrade, in order to play the PS5 version of Spider-Man. They're not selling it as a standalone. They already said that.
Nope. It's not a standalone game. So you either have to buy the Ultimate Edition, which I think is $70.
$70, yeah.
Or purchase it on PS4 and then pay $20.
$50.
To upgrade.
$20.
So it's still $70.
Yes.
So.
But you just play it earlier, I guess.
Correct.
Maybe, if it's not out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And your saves don't carry. Even if you did any of this. Your Spider-Man saves. You have to start over.
You know what's weird also? Spider-Man Miles on PS4 takes up more memory than on PS5. It's like 2 gigabytes more. Explain that to me, Riddler.
I don't know.
So that's
speaking of
fuckery. Yeah. Go on. Let's move on.
I don't want to move on.
Oh,
that's
shit.
That's the news. That's the news. That's the story. That's us trying to explain what they said. Now let's get into the fact that this is fucking stupid.
It is stupid.
Just give us the upgrade. This is dumb. You had like 12 million, 20 million, however fucking many million people it was, bought Spider-Man. We have the game. We held on to the game. Mm-hmm. Just let us fucking pop the thing in and upgrade using that. Don't make us have to buy Miles Morales if we don't want to. Just let us... You're stupid. PlayStation, Sony, I understand you like money. This is stupid. And you know what else is really stupid? That you did this like 3 days after the fucking pre-orders went up.
Yep.
You goddamn criminals. Stupid. Absolutely ass.
See, people, less bitching about Spider-Man and Marvel Adventures, more bitching about this. This is when you should be bitching, people.
This is what happens... when you're winning. This is what happens when Sony dominates a console cycle. They whip out their big old penis, they drop it on the floor, and they realize, oh no, your penis is that big when it's erect. Here's our flaccid penis. And then Xbox is like, smart delivery! And it's just a big old flaccid cock. And then they get nice and hard, and it's like 15 feet long. And PlayStation's like, well, fuck us then, I guess.
No, I think it's more like swing with the talk's a big game, then it's like a baby dick when the pants come off and people just point and laugh at it because it's humiliating. It's fucking humiliating.
This is honestly the dumbest shit.
You have games that no one cares about getting free next gen upgrades. And you should have learned from the whole Control debacle. That's like the perfect blueprint of how this shit could go wrong instantly.
Right. They're doing exactly what 505's doing. Now,
right.
So since we're on this, and I didn't put the news in here, but I came across somebody that said, hey, it was on a Facebook post. They said, hey, just a reminder, if you're going to play your PS4 games, your PS4 disc games on your PS5 or the PS4 games that are going to go into the Instant Collection, you can only play them with a DualShock 4.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot play them with the DualSense controller,
mm-hmm.
which to me sounds completely wrong because people trade in their shit, right?
Uh-huh.
So I looked on the PlayStation blog. I looked on pushsquare.com. I looked on DualShock, all of the normal PlayStation places I go. I went to Reddit. I went to all these places. There is not one place anywhere that says that you can or cannot use your DualSense to play PS4 games on your PS5. They all say you can't play, you can't use your DualSense on the PS4, which obviously makes fucking sense, mm-hmm. and you can't play PS5 games with the DualShock 4, which also makes sense.
Sure.
But nowhere do they say that when you get all this instant collection that you're going to need to hold on to one of your DualShock 4s to play it. Sony, PlayStation, just tell us. Just fucking say something.
No one, see, no one asks the right questions, Steven. That's the problem. No one's asking the right questions.
Do I need to hold on to my DualShock 4 to play PlayStation 4 games? The 99% of the games that you say are going to be backwards compatible. Can you just give me that information?
No, we can't. Just buy the game twice, dummy. What are you doing? Stop talking. Anyway, we're buying.
Speaking of things that are dumb, this is coming from Forbes. This is where I'm reading this. The Mass Effect Trilogy Remaster does exist, and it has been delayed. A game we have not had an announcement for. In a game we do not have an announcement for,
yep.
We now have a delay. And here's here's the crazy thing.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Go ahead.
The game was supposed to be out in the fall, late September.
Sure.
But EA has neither revealed it or even mentioned it.
This is like the worst.
According to
secret.
A report from VentureBeat, here's what's going on. The project does exist. It's called the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Mm-hmm. And yes, it is a remaster of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. The initial plan was to release this fall, specifically in October, for next gen, before the next gen rush. Mm-hmm. But behind the scenes, it has been pushed to 2021. Yes, the pandemic was a factor.
Sure.
But reportedly, and here's the kicker, the biggest issue is the remaster of Mass Effect 1. Where its quality lags behind the other two games to such an extent, it's proving problematic to address. This is both issues with visuals and gameplay. We don't even know it exists. Stop doing it, or just remaster 2 and 3 and forget 1.
Right, because if you cut out 1, and if we're to cut out Andromeda, so they're already halfway there, you know, cutting the shit games out. So you cut out the first game, leave in 2 and 3. Have a cutscene to explain the first game, and then just say, oh, Andromeda was a fever dream. Never happened. Just forget about it altogether.
That's imagine what remastering a game that was
they should
finished.
Call it Mass Effect Essentials, and just have 2 and 3. That's how you're going to do it.
And do 1 as a graphic comic.
Right.
Like how they did, how you do your decision, but like expand that a little bit. Make it more stuff.
You do it like the Netflix, like the, here's what I've done last season of this show.
Previously. In Mass Effect.
You do a 2-minute trailer and that's how you do it. But yeah, this is funny. I love how Mass Effect 1 was such a mess. It's holding back a remastered ports of generations old games.
I mean, one has great characters, great story, terrible gameplay.
Thank God for that though, because that's all
terrible menus.
Its saving grace was the
terrible driving. I got so bored of that game, and everybody that loves Mass Effect, and I mean everyone, said, just go to 2.
Yeah.
Because I played it late. They were just like, no, just go to 2. You can make all your decisions or whatever. And yes, you can. But they should do that, but expand it. Make me relive 1 through, like, cool cutscenes. Like, mash all the cutscenes together into, like, a nice, like, maybe half an hour movie and let me make my decisions through that. That would be cool. I'd be down for that.
Yeah. Do you want to relive your letdown all over again? Well, you can in 2021.
Yes. All right, Andy, take us to the next story.
So here's a game that you would think would come 10 years from now, or at least have some delays, but that's not the case. Apparently Final Fantasy 16. It has been developing for a long time, 4 years, it seems.
And but that's 6 months in Japanese time.
And it's coming. Yeah, it was basically 3.5 years conversation over the fucking water cooler, and then they started making it last week. According to Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg, I still can't get fucking used to that, saying that out loud.
Bloomberg.
He was on the Triple Click podcast. That doesn't sound like dual screens, but whatever. And he had this to say. I've heard from people who know the game, have worked on the game, or are familiar with the game's development, that it's actually been in development for at least 4 years in some capacity. So it's coming sooner than people think. Right. To me, this makes a lot of sense because I don't think we're going to get Part 7 Remake Part 2 anytime soon. And having a mainline Final Fantasy game coming 2021, maybe 2022, is a good bet from Square Enix because it's early in the next-gen life cycle. And it buys some time to actually put more effort into 7 Part 2 Remake, which is good. So I kind of believe that. And I would think after all the bullshit surrounding Final Fantasy versus 13, that became 15, that 10-year-plus development nightmare that that game became.
It was 12 or 13 years from when it was revealed.
And the end result was a great RPG, but it felt like it was a great skeletal structure of an amazing RPG.
Yeah, it was just, it was great. It was a fun combat simulator.
It was, this has cost us millions of dollars. You built a new engine. It's not out yet. It's been 10 plus years. Get out the door in a year or you're all fired situation. So that's cool. But that wasn't the only bit of news we got regarding FF16 this week.
Yes, this one's a little weird. But
yeah, apparently the game is also confirmed to be rated M for mature. Blood and sex, baby. Bring it on.
So it's a PEGI rating of PEGI 18. Now, what we did find out later after having some conversations with some people, PEGI has to rate trailers.
Right. And if you go by the trailer,
right. It is possible that that was only what was rated, was what was in the trailer. Maybe the blood automatically gives it an 18.
Listen.
Whatever.
Listen. That's blood. There was two moments of blood in the trailer. There was a scene where the kid got blood on him.
Yeah.
And then when it looks like Ifrit is like going to town on something, he's like pulling shit and you see blood splatters also going on there as well.
Right.
So
now what I'm wondering though, Andy, is I don't know if this was the trailer that was rated or if it's a game rating. Because I didn't research that. I don't know if anybody in the chat wants to look that up and could correct us live on the show. But typically when a game, it gets rated, it gets posted on those websites. And I don't know if anybody did that legwork. I forgot. I wanted to and I forgot.
Yeah.
But if it is rated, then that means they have a complete finished build of the game.
Well, that goes to the next point I wanted to make is Square also. They, for some reason, again, they're defying all odds here. They didn't want to show a CG trailer for the reveal. They wanted to show actual gameplay.
Gameplay, yeah.
And in-game footage.
Yep.
And they were like, this is not the final graphic. It's going to get much better after this. But we want to show you the actual game. And I'm just like, Square? Right. Square, who are you? I like this Square. Yeah. Like, we're going to get...
You didn't just show us a crystal.
We're going to get games on time in a timely manner. You got some blood in there. It's like, you're not showing a boring-ass CG trailer. But on the M rating note, I feel, again, given that trailer and the shades of Final Fantasy Type-0 that I got while watching that trailer, which was also an M-rated Final Fantasy game, which has the most brutal opening in a Final Fantasy game. They all die is the best way to describe that opening sequence. And you know what? Bring it on. I think if you're going to have this more mature storyline that has like warring nations set in this medieval setting,
right?
Be like totally fucking raw with it and make it gory and grounded.
It doesn't have to be gory.
With, magic spells and shit. No, I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying like rip arms off it or chop off penises like Game of Thrones style, but it's going to have its measure of violence. It can't be I enjoyed
Give me Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I enjoyed the boy band road trip in part 15. I loved it. Uh-huh. It was great. It was wholesome. But I'm ready for a darker turn in this series. And I think the most telling line is in the trailer itself when they talk about the crystal's legacy guiding the franchise. It's all metaphorical. For so many years, now it's time to let go. It's time. Make it gritty, violent. Yes, and release it hopefully in a year or two.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, so you hear about this shit. So apparently,
hear about this shit.
Here's a headline. Sony tried to negotiate timed exclusivity for Starfield before Microsoft bought Bethesda.
Oh my god.
Indeed, right?
If I was drinking a beverage, it would have shot right out of my nose because this shit is hysterical.
So this is according to an insider, Imran Khan. He's a frequent guest of Kinda Funny. He's one of their contributing guests, hosts. And he used to write for Game Informer. He's very in the know. He's got a lot of people that he knows.
Yes.
But here's a quote, and this is kind of the whole crux of the argument here. The timing on this announcement is absolutely fascinating. The week after Sony solidifies their existing exclusivity with some Bethesda games, but the day before Xbox opens up pre-orders, Sony has been negotiating timed exclusivity on Starfield as recently as a few months ago, Imran Khan tweeted. Going to guess either those talks are done or the price suddenly went way, way up, which is definitely a understatement. So it looks like, I mean, if that's true, if that is something that was happening, and I have no reason to believe it wasn't what was happening, this is what Sony's strategy was going to be this year, because Sony does not have acquisition type money. They have exclusivity type money.
Yeah.
So, which Microsoft obviously has that as well, but they're taking a different approach. They want to build a massive catalog that they could throw everywhere, whereas Sony's like, no, we need to build something that you could only come here and play. Mm-hmm. So I think because this thing fell through, I would not be shocked if we're getting more console exclusivity, if that's the route that I think that's going to be the route PS5 is going to have. I think you're going to see a lot of 1 to 2 year to 3 year console exclusive type
and
stuff.
And I think this is in line with a rumor from earlier this year about the term console exclusive being really big in headlines.
Right.
It was Sony spending a lot to secure things or content, at least on their system, either first or just all out on their system only, like going that route. I do want to say one thing, Steven. I asked around through my various sources and contacts, particularly on the Microsoft side, which I have two really good contacts. And without revealing too much, I want to say that if you're expecting Starfield on PS5, you may want to invest in an Xbox system or a good PC. Mm. Yeah. It seems like...
That does not shock me at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That does not shock me at all. But, you know, here's the thing. For me, that's not why I buy a PlayStation. I don't buy a PlayStation for Skyrim. Like, I
see,
and actually, I do want to make this point. Yeah. I still never finished Skyrim because it broke on PS3. It broke on PS3. It barely ran on PS3. That is not why I buy PlayStation. I buy PlayStation for Naughty Dog, for Insomniac, for fucking, you know, I buy it for
Sucker Punch, for
PlayStation's games.
Yeah.
That is why I buy it. Like, I'm not buying it for fucking Madden. I'm not buying it for that shit. Now, it's nice when those games come because I have options, 100%. That's not why I'm buying them. Like, when PS3 came out, every single sports game, except for MLB The Show, ran like poopy cock a doo-doo. And on PS3 for like 3 years, every one of them was inferior to the 360. Every one of them. That's not why I bought the system. I bought the system because I wanted to play Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play, at that point, Devil May Cry. Like, I only knew that on PS2 at the time. But like, or Final Fantasies. Like, I only knew Final Fantasy for PlayStation. So like, yes, I guess that's not a first party, but you get what I'm saying.
But what you're saying is Sony has convinced you that you have to buy one of their systems because you know what kind of games they make and they put their money behind and their talent behind. It's for your God of War, for your Spider-Man, your Last of Us, your Ghosts. Like, you know what you're going to get. You've bought into that system for those franchises.
Right. Like, I know I'm going to get 12 games. I'm absolutely going to only be able to play there.
If someone tells you, Steven, you can only play the new Skyrim on your PC or Xbox, you're still buying that PS5 either way.
Right. Yeah. That's not going to sway me one way or the other.
It's a matter of, okay, should I invest more in my PC now as a more competent system, or should I buy an Xbox One console?
Right. Yeah. And obviously, and for me personally, what's going to happen, like, Xbox, their exclusive titles, there's only one that has ever appealed to me the same way a PlayStation exclusive title, and that's Fable. I loved Fable 1 and 2.
And that's Bleeding Edge. No,
no, I loved Fable 1 and 2. I was never into Halo. I was never into Gears.
Yep.
I was never into Forza. You know, like they just don't, they don't speak to me. I actually like Too Human, believe it or not.
Wow. Played, you like that hot piece of garbage?
I did. I actually like that. But I like I like action RPGs. Like that's like my favorite.
Dude, genre, which was at one point a PS1 exclusive before it went on to Xbox.
Exactly. That's just
And then
that was another game that was in
development. And that destroyed Silicon Knights. That's a whole other story altogether.
Yeah. So that is the only reason why like I've never been intrigued, and I have a 360. I have an OG Xbox. Mm-hmm. Xbox One is the only one I haven't purchased. Because they really didn't give much of a reason to with the games. They didn't come out with like different exclusives that like appealed to me or you know really move the needle in any way in one way or the other. But I want to make something very clear. I'm not anti Xbox. Mm-hmm. I never was anti Xbox ever. I loved playing on with their Xbox Live on 360. I played Call of Duty exclusively on my 360. Never played it on PS3. I played Left 4 Dead exclusively on my Xbox 360. I played I think I played Madden exclusively on my 360. Like I played a lot of those games on my 360, playing with friends. But I had my PS3 for, you know, the Uncharted's of the world and stuff like that. But this Starfield situation, again, I have a PC, I'll be upgrading it, but if it means I could spend $500 on the Xbox Series X or $800 on upgrading my GPU mm-hmm. on my PC, that's where I'm going to have a decision to make.
Yeah.
Because are games going to take advantage of an $800 GPU more so than they're going to take advantage of a Series X?
Right.
In a year from now? Maybe not.
And also, so bottom
that's
line,
where they can get my money.
Right. Well, and also, to further that statement along, it's also been a good selling point for Game Pass. As well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of
like,
course. Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
Like whether absolutely. Or not you're debating buying a PC or having a better PC or an Xbox system, Game Pass now is just this got a whole lot sweeter with this acquisition. So, at the very least, that's been sold to you, I would say.
Yeah. And now that I'm going to be trying this whole xCloud thing, I mean, they got my extra $10 a month now,
right?
So I can upgrade to Ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Buzz in the chat makes a very good point. You have an Xbox now because you have your Kishi and you have your xCloud.
Right.
Like, I guess that's an Xbox, right?
In
like,
the
I guess
palm
that's,
of your hand.
I mean, I have excellent internet. I don't know how good the Wi-Fi is on a Galaxy
Dude,
S10 Plus.
Let me just tell you right now. I was playing a little bit before. I was thoroughly impressed. I played.
Which phone do you have?
I have a Samsung Galaxy 9.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I played a little bit of Blair Witch, a little bit of a Void.
Void Bastards,
and a little bit of Gears 5.
Oh, cool. You played Gears.
It was really, really seamless. And I was in the bathroom just playing it for a bit. I was like really impressed.
And
that.
you have 100 megabits?
Yeah.
What's your connection?
Yeah. It's over 100.
Because I have gigabit, so I don't think I'm gonna struggle at all.
No, you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine.
When I was at my parents' house, my phone defaults to the 2.5 gigahertz connection instead of the 5, and it said your connection might be too slow.
Mm.
Switch to the five gigahertz connection. But I know that if you do 5 gigahertz, you have to be closer to the router.
Right.
So, but I'm not gonna have that problem here because my router is directly behind me. Mm-hmm. My PC is obviously hardwired, but everything else is Wi-Fi. So I mean my connection's fine. Buzz also says that the xCloud is working off of a 1S right now. It'll be Series X in a few months. So like that'll up the power situation dramatically as well. But you don't need that much power. If you're streaming to like a 6.5 inch screen, you know?
Yeah.
So I mean that again. The whole moral of the story is like so, or the whole point of why this is I wanted to talk about this is because I think this is Sony's strategy for this gen. It's not necessarily a bad strategy, but if they are going to invest their money in quote unquote console exclusive things with third parties, they might want to think about sopping up the smaller developers like your Blue Points, like your was it From Software?
From Software, right? Yeah. You're talking about
that's Dark Souls, Demon's Souls, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have relationships with these developers, you have relationships with them. Like
Dude.
Maybe do that, you know, because they're gonna have to. Like, Microsoft could buy everybody. We know that. They could legitimately buy everybody, and then the Supreme Court will have to get involved, and it'll be like, it's a fucking monopoly, and they can't buy all of video games. Like, that's a thing that could absolutely 100% happen.
Sure. That's a nightmare scenario, though, for
Sony. I know, but what Sony does that I think is brilliant is they take chances on smaller devs and foster them into a Sony Bend, mm-hmm. you know? Like, they create Sony San Diego.
Oh,
they
Sony Bend, yes. Those... Mm-hmm. Forgot about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Days Gone is a fucking great game. Like, it wasn't... Yes, it was plagued at launch, pun intended. It had issues, but that game's really good. Like, yeah. It's a really good game. Mm-hmm. And their next game is only going to be better. Because that's what Sony does. That's what Sony does really well. So, like, go in there. Find a studio that has 50 people. Buy them up. You know what they could do. Go find the guys that make these double A budget indie games, you know? Like, go find them. Give them some money. Bring them on as a dev. And then create the next IP, because that's something Sony does so well. PlayStation creates IP so well.
See, that's like, where you see the divergence of their business strategy this generation.
Right. Exactly. It's, yes.
Microsoft knew that their internal studios couldn't quite match that storytelling and that polish that Sony does so well with their studios, which is fine. You don't have to be just like them in every single scenario, like game development wise, but they have the power to acquire and make a catalog, and mm-hmm. that's what they're going to do. And it sold me. Like, this is it. Like, Game Pass is now a part of my life. Plain and simple.
Yep. 100%. All right, get us to the next story.
Speaking about
two more stories.
Speaking about acquiring things and doing things that on the Sony end, this rumor may have some more weight to it.
Rumor alert! Rumor alert! So, rumor alert! Rumor alert!
Apparently, there is a Metal Gear Solid remake for PS5 and PC in development, along with remasters of Metal Gear Solid 2, 3, and Part 4, surprisingly.
I love 4. I'm sorry. I just love that game.
That game is all... It's all just cheese and charm and throwbacks and references. It's every little thing that was left on the table from the entire franchise is just resolved or referenced to. It's just so good. It's so campy. Anyway, so this rumor comes from a YouTuber by the name of Red Gaming Tech, who admits is more on the hardware end of rumors and inside sources. He's been right about AMD specs and other things in the past, but he has a few folks on the software side, and he was told, that's what I hate the most, he was told that a Metal Gear Solid remake, a full-blown remake, not a port, not a remaster, not a Twin Snakes polish, it's mm-hmm. from a ground-up remade game like Demon's Souls, is, and I quote from his sources, almost certainly happening. No.
It's weird, man. It's a weird thing.
No, like I hate that phrasing, because your sources are now almost sure. So they're not even sure. So that's what I hate the most about this. But again, it kind of makes sense that they would push this kind of deal on the Sony side. This is a franchise sitting in dormancy. It is a pachinko game now. The right. last Metal Gear game we got was Survive, which was dog shit. So I want this to be true. Oh, and also in this same rumor, in that same video, there's mention of a Bloodborne remaster too for PC and PS5. As a side note.
Just make a fucking second one. God damn it.
we're making Elden Ring, Steve. You can't have fucking Bloodborne 2. We're sorry.
Listen.
We're doing Game of Thrones shit.
If Metal Gear Solid Remake is in development, I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I would love to revisit that game with, you know, current sensibilities. As long as you stick to the design of the game and the intent of the game, and you don't try and make it Metal Gear Solid 5, like, you know, which I know a lot of people love the gameplay, the loop in that game.
Yeah.
That's not a Metal Gear Solid game. I'm sorry. I've said it a million times. That game was a different genre altogether that mm-hmm. they just slapped Metal Gear Solid on and made kooky characters that made no sense.
Zombies. They put zombies in my Metal Gear game.
They did. let's go to the final story here. This is also a one that I need more information on.
This is also what good PR and marketing spin can do for you, by the way. Indeed. Go ahead.
The Xbox Series X and S sells out in Japan. Xbox's boss, Phil Spencer, says he is humbled by this.
Humbled.
Spencer said, "It humbles me to consider how well the Series XS has been welcomed by Japanese fans. With the goals we're working towards for the Xbox Series XS, this is only the first step in a much longer marathon, but I'm very happy to know how much everyone is expecting from us." Yeah, that's what he says. "And it motivates us even more when pre-orders sell out." Now, we know, historically, Xbox sells like absolute dog shit in Japan.
So
I cannot imagine they had a huge stock for, for the Japanese
audience.
We
need to frame this, Steven. This is, again, PR speak and marketing is in overdrive with a new console coming out. The Xbox One also sold out in Japan in pre-orders. The Xbox One launched in Japan, 23,000 units. It was the worst console launch in Japan ever known
and
to man.
And those were sold out.
And those based on a sold out pre-order. Now, I'm almost positive that Japan would respond more to the Xbox Series S. It's small. It's powerful. Smaller, it's cuter, yeah. It's cute. It's Japan. They'll gobble it up. But these words mean nothing to me without some real numbers behind them. Because, yeah, it's a new system. Of course you're going to sell it on pre-order because that's going to be a limited engagement. Because you want to have that rush, that energy, that day one launch of lines, hopefully not, but lines and people trying to get one for themselves. So I can see a limited supply in Japan based on how poorly it's received. Xbox One, for example. But listen, I admire them for trying to get more of that market share. I don't imagine a world that where the Xbox sells more than anything else, be it PlayStation or Nintendo in Japan. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, me either.
Never going to happen. But still, it's something, and they're trying. So I got to commend that at the end of the day.
All right, it's time to get into the hype zone, which, of course, we're going back to Konami here, Andy, to hit us up with this hype zone. Well, get hype, folks.
Steven, I think... Now, we mentioned before there was a rumor about Metal Gear Solid being remade for PS5 and PC. But then again, this hype zone, I think, all but confirms that they're making this game. And let me tell you why.
It's confirmed.
Konami stuff have hit... GOG, good old games.
Wow, Andy.
We got Metal Gear, the MSX, NES, Metal Gear, the OG Metal Gear.
Yep.
We got Metal Gear Solid, the PC port of Metal Gear Solid. We got Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance, which was the expanded edition that came out after Sons of Liberty. And we got the Konami Games Collection, which includes Castlevania 1, 2, and 3, Contra, and Super C. Only on GOG. I can't explain it. I'm not sure why these are here.
Because they are good old games, Andy.
I'm not sure why you would release a really bad port of Metal Gear Solid, the PC one, which...
It's a very bad port.
Which, even though it had the first-person view added to it after the fact, plus all the VR missions, remember that VR mission game that came out after the fact, remember that? It was like Metal Gear Solid Integral, or was it called VR Missions? That came out after the PS1 game? It was all VR?
It was VR Missions.
Yeah. That's bundled with it. It also has the worst version of the Psycho Mantis fight, because there's no DualShock controller. Yeah. There's no memory card. That's all cut out. And there's also no controller support either, at least for your Xbox controller. That's
just
not going to work.
Bizarre, man.
So, Konami, do you need money? How about this? Have Sony buy your shit and they'll make some good games for you. How about that?
That's it. I would love Naughty Dog to make a Metal Gear game. Like, I know Kojima's there, but I would love for Naughty Dog to take that cinematic approach to Metal Gear and make, like, an actual, like, adventure Metal Gear, like, third shooter. Like, you could still do stealth. I mean, they obviously can do stealth.
Right.
They have, you know, The Last of Us, but, like, I would love that. All right, folks, we're going to kick it to mailbag now. So, chat, if you have anything you want to say, anything you want to mention, now is the time. Take your time. type it up. I'll go back and I'll read that. But first, I'm going to go, while you're doing that, while you're compiling your thoughts, I'm going to go to our Facebook question of the week, which was, now that pre-orders for both consoles are live, which did you get or do you plan on getting? So, we had quite a few votes here. First place was the PS5 that had 23 votes. 9 people, which was tied for second, said none. 9 people were getting the Xbox Series consoles. I kind of lumped them together.
Mm-hmm,
5 people said they're getting both. And 3 people said, all I need is my Switch. So I'm going to go to the comments here a little bit. Buzz Killington says Series X, but also PS5, but mainly Series X. That doesn't make sense because you can't mainly pre-order one console.
So, you're still buying two. Like, I'm mainly buying this one. Like, the money here is more main on that one as opposed to the other one.
Maggie Glass.
Wait, I got it. I got it. He's gonna buy the PS, the Xbox with his PayPal credit card, right. Sirius, and he's paying for the PS7 in pennies. That's how he's gonna do it.
That makes sense. Maggie Glass says, question, do you know if my VR stuff for my PS4 will work on a PS5? If yes, then a PS5. And I said, yes, it will. So there we go. We're good to go. Matt Murray says PS5 for now, which may have changed. I know he's been really down on PlayStation lately. Farmer Pete says, I'm just planning on rolling PC with that glorious Game Pass Ultimate.
That's a great choice.
Brian Weatherhead says both. And Taylor Alan says, I just built a PC in May that will run games as well or better than a Series X will. So I'm going to play Xbox and third-party games on PC. Then in a year or two, when there are a bunch of PS5 exclusives that I want, I'll grab an all-digital PS5.
There you go.
And John T says, I got both. So we got both of them. All right.
Which one is the main one, though? I want to know. Did he say?
Yeah, which one's the main thing you pre-ordered? John T. All right. Maddie Allen says, could Naughty Dog do Sirius? And I don't know if that's a real question because they did The Last of Us and The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they could do Sirius real well.
The thing is, can they do like Kojima level weird is the real question you should be asking.
That is the question. Buzz Killington says, I'll be mainly playing Series X. PS5 will be a paperweight, then why did you spend $400 on it? Let me scroll up and see what we missed while we were chatting. let's see. Albop says, easy solution, get the ultimate version of Miles Morales on PS5. It's the same price as getting it on PS4. Sure. Sure. I think that's it,
dude. I am. Listen, whatever you purchase, whatever you get, PS5 or Xbox, or stick to your PC or your Switch, I am still very excited for next gen. I am thoroughly excited for what's happening. There's some big games coming out that I can't wait to play. Demon's Souls, Resident Evil 8. And you know, oddly enough, Halo Infinite, like.
Okay.
It didn't look great, but still, I'm getting a good Halo game from that, and it just needs the work put into it to be good. And I think the delay is going to help massively, and I can't wait till it comes out. To be honest.
Okay, so I'm writing the question of the week for next week, and here's the question of the week, folks. What is your favorite genre of game, and what game in that genre coming next gen are you most excited for? I feel like that's a fun question.
It's a good one. You know, also, Steven, the month is almost over.
Indeed.
And that means our Patreon bonus show is due.
Indeed.
That's the Nintendo, the Retro Game Club is on its way. And we got to play some of that Zelda goodness on the Game Boy.
I know. I don't want to do it. I've been trying. I don't want to do it because I like the Game Boy looks like on the computer.
Play on your phone.
Yeah, I guess.
Won't that work? Get a good emulator for your phone and play it that way?
I do. I actually have a Game Boy
emulator on my phone. There you go.
No
excuses now, dude.
Al Bob in the chat says the new Crash game comes out on Friday.
Holy shit. Along with Star
Wars Squadrons.
I almost forgot about that.
I will not be getting Crash, but Squadrons?
I am getting Crash.
Maybe.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about Crash. Shit.
Maybe.
I'm buying shit now.
Hell yeah. No, not Link's Awakening. We are playing Oracle of Ages and Seasons. I am playing Seasons. Andy is playing Ages, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we're going to converge. But we're not. There's no way I'm beating that game before we record that
and
podcast.
And then I'm going to go to your house and we're going to link up and get the real ending together. With the special,
right, we got to get the real. Yeah.
Special codes.
With the special codes and special link cables. Yeah. Got to get those link cables, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Very important,
it's a link cable. Isn't that clever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Folks, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BadChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. In our Facebook group, where we post the question of the week, which you can answer right there in the you know, little comments there, is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. If you want to follow us on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you want to follow me on Twitch, I am twitch.tv/batchild. Andy.
Yes.
I also want to thank Zazu Pitts of Sourdough Productions for our theme song. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Matt Murray for our beautiful overlay that you're looking at right here and our logo.
So lovely.
And all that fun stuff. And Andrew Douglas for all of our silly cartoon art, you silly man, you silly boy. Yeah, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. If you want to buy our merch, it's toolscreens.com/store. Okay, now, Andreas, is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, two things. Thing number one is look forward to the casting call.
Casting call. We're recording this.
It's happening really soon. And guys, we've had some amazing theme songs on these podcasts, both old and new, but the theme song for this series is gonna blow your fucking minds. It is so good. It's indescribable. And the second thing I want to say is my microphone fell during the recording, so I've been this whole time holding it up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. That's dedication.
I caught it as if I was like, oh, and there it is. So I'm here now. Now we're here.
Also, look forward to this Thursday's episode of the Dual Screens Podcast. We have a returning guest, Patrick Hickey Jr. He is always a blast to hang out with. He's got a new book coming out that he's going to talk all about. We're going to talk about video games. We're going to talk about all the funny stories that he got, you know, all the different developers he interviewed and all that fun stuff. So please check that out on Thursday. That is going to do it for us. Thank you, chat. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. We're told our subscriptions are criminally low. So please do it. It doesn't cost money. What are you waiting for? Anyway, thank you so much for watching and listening. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Chad. And as always, please be excellent to each other.